Hi guys, this is your host, Miss Anonymous, and you are now checked into the rehab. That is right. This is your favorite time when you and I get to spend some time together. How very exciting. So today's topic is going to be a serious one, but we're going to tackle the serious topic with a bit of humor, a bit of pizzazz, and it's not to downplay the seriousness of the situation, but sometimes you can get your point across without being all serious about it. So today's topic is going to be how to deal with a stalker. So before I jump into the actual podcast, I hope no one listening is actually dealing with a stalker. But if you are, this is the episode for you. Or maybe you've dealt with the stalker in the past and it was a traumatic experience and you hope it never happens again. But in case it does, or in case this happens to somebody that you know, hopefully some of the things that we kind of talk about today would be helpful in that situation. So before I go into how do you deal with a stalker, let me explain to you what a stalker really is. Now, if you Google the term stalker, there's going to be a variety of different definitions, but the Cliff Notes version is basically somebody who might be following you online, in person, who either you're not aware of in the sense that you don't know the identity of this individual, or you're not comfortable with them following you or stalking you. And stalking comes in a variety of ways. It can be somebody that's parked outside your house, somebody that's doing walk-bys at your job, somebody who's stalking you or following you at school, somebody that's showing up at your gym. And basically, this person knows your schedule, may know the car you drive if you have a car, may know where you live. So, or if they don't do this personally, as in face-to-face, they're doing this online, which means that they're trolling you, which is also another name in my definition of a stalker, that they're following your movements, they're making you feel uncomfortable. And that's really what it boils down to, right? It's following, whether it's in person or online, but it's also doing some actions that's making the person who's quote-unquote being stalked feel uncomfortable. And I'm going to burst a myth. And this is mostly for the ladies. A lot of the women imagine that when they first get this quote unquote stalker, maybe it starts off with, oh, I have a secret admirer. And women tend to fantasize and think that it's the person that they like that could be that secret admirer. And sometimes they may entertain the notion, as in they may encourage some of the stalking-like behavior. More often than not, it's not the person that they were thinking of. And then, depending on the seriousness of the situation, it can be hopefully diffused, where the person just leaves you alone. But there's also serious cases where people need to get restraining orders or get people arrested. So the reason why I really wanted to talk about it is because it can be something as mild as in somebody thought you were interested in them and maybe that took them down this path of following you in person or online. But then you spoke with them and they went away, to somebody just not leaving you alone, to a point where it's starting to impact your life. It's starting to impact your day-to-day schedule. It's starting to impact your mental health. And again, even if you're not going through this, if you have cousins, friends, family members, somebody else could be going through it. So just be mindful, because even if you're not the person experiencing, we're going to talk a little bit about how can you tell that somebody's being stalked and, you know, what are some of the things that you can do to help also as part of this episode, because this definitely is a serious, serious concern. But depending on an individual, sometimes you don't realize the gravity of the situation. So now that you guys know exactly what the definition of a stalker is as it pertains to today's topic, let's talk about the fantasy aspect of it, right? I was alluding to the fact that, and women tend to do this a bit more than men, that the women fantasize when they think someone's leaving them roses outside their house, on their car, maybe somebody sending them messages online with an anonymous either screen name or with an email address. The first thing is to imagine that it's that person that maybe you have a crush on, or that you're hoping that it's that individual. And in that fantasy, as an outsider, it might come across as pretty strange. But when you're in that moment, it's very easy to just imagine that, oh, that person wasn't in my vicinity for those 5 minutes. And then when I went outside, I saw a rose on my car. So they must have slipped off and put that rose. So it's got to be them. Usually, the person that you have a crush on, who may, I'm assuming, may know or have some sort of indication that you might like them, is 99% of the time not this quote-unquote admirer and definitely not the stalker. Here's the interesting pattern. Oftentimes, people stalk people, and it can start with an admiration, if you will, or start in a situation where you become like a secret admirer of someone. 99% of the time, it's not the person that would ever have a shot with you. I hate to break the news to the people that wanted to be that person. Every story that you will hear of where the person says, so I had a stalker, it never ends with, and it was the person that I actually liked. In some cases, it could be that you were in a relationship with someone, and after that relationship ended, that person proceeded to stalk you, which is not what we're talking about here. This is a situation of you don't know who this person is. They start making some indications that they know you, they like you. And then it just starts off as maybe something innocent. It's a compliment here or there. Whether it's notes that's being left, whether it's letters that are being sent to your house or your work or flowers that are showing up. And then it just takes a very crazy slash dangerous turn. It used to be that it's mostly women that used to be the victims of stalking. But now, I mean, women are also doing the stalking. So fellas, like, this episode pertains to you as well. You're no longer safe as maybe you would have been. And part of that is just really that women are more bold and they think that they can act the same as men. And I'm all for equality. But in this context, nobody wants to be stalked. So whether it's a man doing it or a woman doing it doesn't really make it better one way or the other, because it's not a desired behavior. Because like I said, it's usually not the person that would have a chance with that individual. And here's why. If that person thought that they approached you, whether that's a man or a woman, if they approached you, you would reciprocate some of that. They're not going to get to the level of stalking. So for example, if somebody has a crush on you, let's say they leave a flower on your car. You come outside and you don't know who this person is, but you find it innocent. And that's the other key too. What one person might find as stalking, somebody else can find it as flattery in the beginning. But then keep in mind what I was saying about stalking, right? It's unwanted behavior. So when it crosses that line of the person no longer feeling comfortable and the person no longer wanting those advances is really when it takes like a turn of stalking, because it could be just a secret admirer if they don't mind those actions. So it's also important to keep in mind what kind of actions is somebody doing. Is it something that's innocent, that's cute because they don't know how to approach you? And if that is the case, it doesn't last long in the sense that they leave a rose, maybe they leave a letter or something cute, but it doesn't feel off. It doesn't feel scary. I think that's like the best way that you can describe it. For example, you left your job, you drove somewhere, nobody knew that you were there, and then there's a rose on your car. Okay, that's scary because nobody knew that you were going to be there. Maybe if you work with someone, obviously that person knows where you work, and then you see a rose show up. Okay, it could be somebody that you work with. So not as scary in there, and maybe flattering to some people, again, in the beginning, right? So you really have to look at what the action was that has taken place. Did you feel safe? That's a very important thing to ask yourself. Did you feel safe with this? Or were you alarmed and concerned as to how has this happened? How did this person know where I was and whatnot? So depending on your reaction and how you feel this is with the situation, you could either be flattered or you could be scared. And one thing to people is if there is somebody in your life that you are interested in, you never want to be in that bucket where the person is frightened or concerned or feels like their privacy has been violated. So if you are interested in someone, there's different ways of showing that without creating a situation where that person just feels uncomfortable or concerned for their safety. So that's the first thing to keep in mind. How did this action take place? And how do you feel as a result of the action? Generally, when it is a secret admirer, it could also just be somebody that's been flirting with you. And maybe based on the action that they've taken, you can kind of pinpoint that maybe it was that person. When it is a situation where it's harmless and it is a person that maybe you'd be open to, it doesn't carry on for long. As in, maybe there's one or two things that the person does to give you indication that it's really them, and then they end up telling you that it's them or asking you out. And now you know who this person is. And if you are interested, then hopefully you get to pursue that further. If you're not, it's somebody that has respectfully stepped away or stopped with all of these actions if you've asked them to do that. At that point, you shouldn't feel alarmed or concerned or scared. When I say you shouldn't, obviously nobody can dictate how you really feel. And that's the really important part. If you think you're being stalked, it's not up to other people to tell you yes or no. You would know because it's an instinctual feeling that you'll be getting. It could be a series of actions that you're just not comfortable with. And everyone's comfort level is different. Some people might be flattered at the fact that somebody's doing it. But again, there's levels to this. And that's the reason why it's so important to really talk about it, because they don't tell you how to deal with situations like this. So if it is a secret admirer and you are flattered that they have taken X, Y, and Z action steps, great. Hopefully they come forward, or maybe if you suspect someone to be your secret admirer, you should confront that person. And again, be very, very nice about it, because if somebody did not feel like they had the courage to approach you and ask you out or share their feelings, then just be mindful. It could be a shy individual, or it could be somebody that just doesn't think that they have a chance with you. So handle with kid gloves how you have that conversation with the person. And if you're not interested in the person, be super respectful. Be really, really nice, because you're not interested in this person doesn't mean that you want to crush their spirit, especially if they've gone out of their way to do some sweet gesture for you. So always be mindful that this person took this step because they're probably not comfortable even coming to you or approaching you. So even if you're not interested, hopefully their gesture was sweet enough and you can appreciate that they have feelings for you or they have a crush on you, and in a very nice, sweet, gentle manner, you can communicate to them and get the message across that while you appreciate their actions, you don't feel like you can reciprocate their feelings. However, you do think that there's somebody out there that will, and you wish them the best. And if you want to be friends with the person, indicate that. Although my recommendation would be, even if you say, I'd love to be friends, maybe distance yourself a bit. Because if that person does have feelings for you, you want to give it enough time that the feelings dissipate. So that's in a situation if you don't like the person. obviously, if you do like the person and it is somebody that maybe you're interested in, then great. They're your secret admirer. Again, if they don't come forward, ask them in a direct way or a roundabout way, depending on your relationship with them and their personality. And if you are interested, then you've just saved them a lot of legwork that they needed to do. And hopefully you can go out on a date and kind of explore that relationship. If this is not a secret admirer situation, as in the actions that have taken place have just made you feel concerned for your safety or scared or uncomfortable, in those cases, I would suggest, my recommendation, guys, you can take it or you can leave it, not to go directly and confront the person. And here's why I'm saying this. If someone has taken actions, for example, coming back to my example that you drove somewhere, you didn't tell anyone, a rose shows up on your car, that should be concerning for anybody. Because how does this person know that you were there? Are they tracking you? And then that comes down to the safety issue. If someone has taken that approach to pursuing you, I'm not sure at that level if it's really a secret admirer or a mild flirtation or a crush versus an obsession. And for people to know your patterns or people to take drastic steps, you don't know how long this has been festering inside of them. You also don't know how much information they've collected about you. And lastly, you don't know what state of mind this person is in. And my advice would be not to approach them directly. And if you would like to chat with that person, I would suggest not to do it when it's one-on-one. And before you take that step, maybe not even to be alone for a while. And depending on the seriousness of the situation, maybe go to the authorities to see if you need protection. In the sense, because as much as we want to believe that people out there have great intentions and everyone has a good heart, sadly, that's just not the reality of the world. And you don't want to be in a situation where you confront someone that is obsessed with you, may not be mentally stable for whatever reason. It could be something in their life. It could be they've gone through a bad breakup. You don't want to be that you become that person that kind of tips them over the edge. And sometimes, even though we might think that we're being gentle or we're being nice, somebody who's already going through some stuff or someone who has this imagination where you are with them or you will reciprocate that, they may not receive the message the same way that you've intended for that to go out. So you might think, okay, I think I know who this person is and I feel bad for them, but I don't feel the same way. So I'm going to communicate to them very, very nicely that I appreciate the gestures that they've done, but unfortunately I'm seeing somebody or I'm interested in someone else and I cannot reciprocate. And because I'll be nice about it, they will get the hint, I'm doing them a favor, and they will move on with their life. That could be your side of the story. Somebody who's on the receiving end, who may be going through some stuff, either just in their life or mentally, might perceive that same exact conversation as, I really thought this person loved me. I thought they gave me all these signals. Why are they saying this thing to me? How could they hurt me like that? They don't deserve me. Now they deserve to pay for what they've put me through. So a very drastic and dramatic scenario, but quite possible. So if you do find yourself in situations, and as I mentioned, everyone's comfort level is very, very different. Do not assume that however you communicate will be received on the other end. So take precautions depending on the severity of the situations. And if you need to get legal authorities involved, get them involved. Because this is probably not a situation that you want to handle by yourself. If you have friends and family, make sure that they're aware of this. So if you are out somewhere and they notice some strange behavior, even though you might not pick up on it, at least there's somebody else there that has seen it. I would also suggest that until the situation is under control, to take even further security measures. For example, if it's your car, maybe you get cameras installed around it. Maybe you get it checked out and just make sure that no one's tracking you. If it's your home that you feel like you're being stalked, getting cameras involved, getting a proper security company that can show up, going to the police authority and letting them know what is going on. Maybe not being alone when you're going out in the evenings, or not being alone when you're going into semi-secluded or secluded places, just until you feel like this whole situation has come to a halt. Because if it is something serious, then it is going to get to a point where whoever the stalker or secret admirer, whatever the situation is, you need to make sure that there's legal action being taken and you are safe in there. And sometimes it takes a long time to figure out who's even doing these things to you. And in extreme cases, maybe you need to hire a detective. Maybe the legal authorities need to investigate and figure out who this individual is. But the point that I want to really drive home is, if a situation feels off, if you do not feel safe or you do not feel comfortable, do not ignore your instincts. That's the one advice that I give people across multiple situations. Never, ever question your gut feeling. I rather that if somebody isn't going through that situation, they are over dramatic and they take every step necessary only to find out that this was not that serious. It was just somebody that had a crush that's probably just going to go away now that they know that you're not interested, versus somebody saying, I wish I would have taken that situation more seriously because now I'm dealing with this, or I wouldn't be in this predicament. That's always my advice to people. If something feels off, don't sit there, don't rationalize it. Even if somebody else is telling you you're making a big deal out of it, make the big deal out of it. Make the big deal out of it only for it to turn out to be nothing. And there's absolutely no reason that you should feel bad about a situation, because your security should be paramount. Same thing if it's happening to somebody in your life that is a loved one. Make sure that if you feel that something is off, that you take the necessary steps. Rather that than to find out, I would have, should have, could have. That's always, the regret is always the worst situation that you can be in, whether it's for yourself or for somebody that you love in your life. So rather just be dramatic and get that resolved, rather than sitting over there and wondering if you would have done that one thing differently, how the situation could have been entirely avoided. So you don't want to be in that predicament, because at the end of the day, there doesn't need to be logic. It's just, if it feels off, it probably is off. So go and get that investigated. And if you do find yourself in a situation where you're 50-50, where it could be, because in a lot of these situations, it's not a textbook case. Every individual is different, as in the person that's this is happening to, and the person that's doing this to you, it's not one size fits all. So if you're on the fence to say, I don't know, like, is this sweet or is this slightly alarming? Error on the side of caution. If you even have 0.0001% doubt that this is something that's off, then go with that feeling. Get whatever security measures you need to have in place to make sure that you are good. One thing that I always, always, always tell people, it used to be just women, but now even for men, know how to be able to defend yourself. If you're not somebody that's physically strong, have other things on you, whether that's a whistle that you can blow, whether it's something that you can counterattack somebody with. Always have that notion that if this thing got ugly, what is my game plan? Don't think about it in the moment. You have to know ahead of time. And this, I know, may sound really bizarre. Like, why do I need to think about this situation that I may never be in? Because when it happens to you, most people do not think logically in that moment. So part of what I hope for people to get out of this podcast is really just that self-awareness, is that opportunity to really know yourself, whether that means things that happen to you in life, whether that means things that you go through in relationships, whether that means just being a better version of yourself. It's just being honest with yourself and just being self-aware. This is who I am. If I know I cannot throw a punch, if my life depended on it, what's my plan B? And I'm not going to think about plan B where I'm in a situation. I'm going to think of plan B now. If you have wife, girlfriend, sister, daughter, help them think of a plan B. If you have a husband, you have a son, you have cousin, help them think of what that plan is. What are you going to do if you were in that situation? Make that decision now. Are you running? Are you fighting? Are you calling somebody for help? And what is on you that you can leverage? Everyday things that may seem harmless are things that you can use for your protection and for your safety. But just know, this is who I am. This is what I can do. This is what I can't do. What is my game plan? So then this way, and I really hope nobody ever ends up in this type of a situation, but if you ever are, you know exactly what you're going to do. If you think back to being in school, for most of you, you may have gone through fire drills. I'm not sure how many people actually experienced a real fire in the school, but when you think about how many people did probably the fire drills versus how many people actually had the fire, it's going to be a hopefully small percentage of people that actually dealt with the fire. But it's called preparedness, that in case that emergency happened, you knew what to do. And this is no different. In case you find yourself in the bad end of a situation, what is your game plan? What are you going to do? And all those things you need to kind of think of. Even if that situation has not happened to you, be prepared, because that's the best chance that people have these days. I'm sure most of you have seen the news or you've read stories about how these things can spiral out of control. And oftentimes, just coming back to the beginning of the situation, oftentimes it's not someone that does not know you, right? If you have a secret admirer, somebody who starts stalking you, it is a person that knows you. It is probably a person that's in your vicinity that has access to you online or in real life. It's somebody who has basically observed you. If it's something as innocent as a secret admirer, it could be somebody that just saw that you liked ice cream because they saw you at an ice cream shop, and now they've sent you some ice cream because they've observed that about you, right? They've done some homework. And it could be extreme cases to somebody knowing your entire routine. And that becomes borderline obsession, which oftentimes fuels the stalking. Because when you think about like the mind of a stalker, it's you have to be the object of their desire, for better or for worse. Desire can be, I really want to be with this person, or desire could be, let's take it to the other side. It's an ex, somebody that you had a relationship with. You broke up with that person. They're not realizing, or they're not accepting the fact that this relationship is over. So that person had a close bond with you at some point, knows your patterns, knows your behavior, maybe has access to your network, knows where you go, knows what you do. And the desire in it is not the desire for you, although maybe they just want to win you back and they want to convince you. But the desire could also just be that they want you to suffer. They desire for you to be miserable because they're miserable right now. And oftentimes when people find themselves doing this type of behavior, more often than not, they're not in the right state of mind, whether that's something that has to do with their health, it could be their life situation, or just their emotional attachment to you, for better or for worse. Or somebody who just feels like you wronged them. Maybe that wasn't your intention, but it's really how they perceive it. Because for you to stalk someone, it would take time, effort, energy, maybe money. And it's strategic planning, because there's that element of knowing the individual. And if you didn't have a relationship with them, like if it isn't an ex, then they researched you. So they didn't just do this overnight. They didn't just wake up one day and say, that person, I'm going to start stalking that person. There's some sort of motive behind it. Whether it starts off with, oh, they're really attractive, I would love to get to know them. And then it turns into, I just watch them every day. Like, think about just how our habits form, right? Start doing anything, anything at all, even if it's a thing that you don't like. You do it for 21 days, then it just kind of becomes a habit. And habits can be good, habits can be bad. Addiction starts off the same exact way. You maybe had a cigarette once, had a cigarette twice, three times, four times. Next thing you know, you're having a cigarette every single day. You did it for 21 days, and now you have that itch to do this, to have the cigarette. Stalking is no different. It could start off very, very innocently. Oh, I work there, and I notice this man or this woman that comes out and has a smoke at 12 o'clock. Okay, I see them once. The next day, I'm like, oh, today they're on a phone. I wonder who they're talking to. Third day, they come out having a cigarette at the same time. And I was like, oh, they're actually not that bad looking. So you see how it could start off very innocently. That maybe the person doesn't even mean for it to get to the level of obsession. But now you've just kind of become part of somebody's day. Like if you're the person that's coming out for a smoke, you may not even know that there's somebody in the adjacent office building that notice you one day, notice you another day, now knows that you're out there at noon every single day having a smoke, and now they watch you. Now you become part of their routine and you don't even know that they exist. So my other advice would be, one way to make sure that you don't get stalked, and again, in some situations you can't avoid it. If it's somebody that works with you, it's hard to avoid. But if that's not the situation, if it's not someone that you're seeing at school, it's not someone that you're working with, it's not someone that every single day you bump into where you have to be there, one way to avoid a situation is not have a pattern. More often than not, these, whether it's an infatuation, whether it's a secret admirer, whether it becomes a stalking situation, it starts usually because you have a pattern. So as I mentioned, it can be very innocent in the beginning, but it's there because now that person is starting to notice certain things about you because there's some form of a pattern. People who are all over the place, here's one blessing to them. If you're all over the place, you don't really have a day-to-day schedule. Nobody really knows where you will be. You work, like maybe you travel for work, so you're in different locations. It's difficult to stalk that person. Unless you're stalking, you know where they live and you're stalking them at their house. It's difficult to stalk that person. So not having a routine in this situation is actually beneficial. Not having a set schedule that people can follow. Now, I definitely know of people that don't have a set schedule, but they've been stalked anyways. But it just minimizes for you to get stalked. If you do not have a set pattern. And if you are a creature of habit, I would look for ways to break that habit. Let's say you go to the same Starbucks every single morning for coffee. Somebody who also comes at that Starbucks at the same time every single morning now knows that is your pattern. Don't go to the same Starbucks. Shake it up. Don't go at the same time. Go at different times. Shake it up. Don't get the same thing all the time. Shake it up. Because people, when they're doing stalking, part of the, again, this could be something very innocent and it could be something, I want to say diabolical, but it's really just, you know, I guess what excites the individual to kind of watch you. People look for patterns. People in general are creatures of habit. I hate to say it, but it's true. So we like to be able to predict how somebody else is going to react or what somebody else is going to do, because it all boils down to the need to be right. People love to be right. So if they can understand you, then they can predict what you're going to do next. That also, unfortunately, is what, if somebody is stalking you, works in their favor. Now they know your habit. They know what makes you maybe tick, because let's come back to the Starbucks example. You go and get your coffee every single morning. Maybe you like the person that makes the coffee. You like the way they make your coffee because people are very particular about these things. So every morning, because you see that person, it's like, hey, how are you? How are things? You have your small talk. Now you've been going there for 6 months. They're like, ah, how are the kids? Somebody who also comes at the same time now knows that you have kids. Maybe they ask you, hey, how is work? Did you get that promotion now? They know you were going for that promotion. So always just be mindful of these types of things. It can easily be avoided if you just don't have a set pattern. So for people that are creatures of habit themselves, I know it's going to be a bit tough, but if you find yourself in this situation, let's say you feel like you're being watched or something, break that pattern. Don't let it get to that point where now somebody knows your routine backwards, right? And they know exactly where you will be, exactly what you will order, exactly what time you're coming home, what exactly you're doing on Tuesday night, where will you be on Thursday night? Because then it makes it easier for that person to stalk you. But if you break the pattern and you're unpredictable, that makes it, I'm not saying they won't stalk you, but it just makes it more difficult for them to stalk you. So that's one thing that you can also do. The other is sometimes, let's say you know or you feel that someone's watching you, saying certain things, for example, giving bits of information about yourself, doesn't have to be true. But giving information about yourself that could be, for example, oh, my husband works for the police department. Maybe you're not even married. Maybe you're not even dating someone. But now you've let this person, maybe you've kind of observed them observing you. You have said this. Maybe that would deter them to continuing to approach you. Because maybe they thought you were single. Now you've kind of put it out there that you're not. Maybe that information would be enough. Sharing your location with your loved ones. It could be if you have a Apple Watch. It could be maybe with your car. Maybe you let somebody in your family track you or whatnot. Those are other ways of just being, in case you can't find me, this is how you can track me in there. That is one thing that I would not communicate. I would not go to a barista and say, so I have my husband that is now tracking my vehicle. So if this person is going to be stalking you, they'd be like, note to self, make sure they're not in their vehicle. So that's not information that you want to give out. So that's an example of what not to do. But other things about yourself, like maybe you mentioned I'm moving out of state. And you just stop going to that coffee place because you don't feel comfortable. And maybe now that person thinks that you've moved out of state. If you do have online profiles and you feel like you are being watched, maybe making those online profiles private or maybe not posting where you are. One of the craziest thing, or at least what appears really crazy to me, is when people post where they are in real time, and then they're surprised that they got stalked. Well, you're telling this person where you are. Like, you're not even making them work for it. You're basically saying, here I am, come and get me. So just be mindful of little things like that. Maybe you take a picture of the favorite concert that you went to, but you don't post it while you're at the concert. Maybe you post it 2 hours after you've left the concert. So in case somebody wanted to come and find you at the concert, they now know that the concert is over. And that is something that in this day and age where everyone's on their phone, everyone's on social media, that is so crucial to remember that it's not just your friends and family that are watching those stories. It's also people that maybe you do not want them showing up at those locations. If you're going through some stuff, don't post everything online. I have a very good rule of thumb where don't do things in real time unless people don't know where you are. If you're standing in front of a wall inside somebody's house and you take a selfie, nobody knows that that wall belongs to that house at that address. Fine, post it because nobody knows where you are in there. Unless you post it with somebody and then you say, I'm at this person's house. Chances of somebody figuring out where you are slim to none. Okay, post it in real time. But if you are at a event that anybody can Google and they would know exactly the location of it, they know exactly the time, you know, when it starts, when it ends. You post, I'm in row 305. Okay, now they know which row you're in. They can look at the map and they could figure out what is the exit that you will be taking. That makes it easier for them to figure out, well, if you drove your car, the car would be in this. So you see where I'm going with this, guys? Like, if you find yourself in this situation, then you just have to be extra mindful. But even if you're not in that situation, just proactively think, like, how can I deter someone that wanted to maybe follow me to not follow me, quote unquote. And if you do want to share certain experiences, wait until the experience is over. So then this way you don't have somebody that's trying to stalk you. And the same thing, even if it's not like somebody who's interested in you, it could also be an ex. Maybe the relationship is over. This person's taking it really, really hard. And now they've just become obsessed with you and they've started stalking you. If they know your life, they know your friends, and they see you with that person, don't post the picture in real time if you're at their house, because they probably do know what color that wall looks like. So in a lot of these cases, you can avoid certain situations. Now, it doesn't work 100% of the time, in which case you do need to escalate and get the help that I've spoke about in the beginning of the episode. But in some cases, you can take measures or you can take steps where you can minimize it. And also, if you have an ex that's doing the stalking, hopefully if this was a relationship with a decent length of time, you know this person, you know, okay, is this them coming from a place of emotion where they're just looking for closure, or they're having a hard time accepting that this is over and it's harmless, to then saying, okay, I left this ex because my ex is crazy. So, and not just crazy to flatter yourself, like actually they're acting out of character and they can take extreme measures to get back at you. In that case, you do have to take the situation very seriously. And maybe you need like a restraining order or protection, because you know the levels that they can then go to. The only benefit of having a relationship with that person prior is that you know who it is. So you know how serious the situation can get. Always still err on the side of caution, but you have that benefit versus when you're being stalked by somebody that you don't know them. Maybe you don't know their name, but they're just appearing everywhere and you feel uncomfortable, but they're, because you don't know this person, you don't know if it's just a coincidence. And in this situation, if you feel uncomfortable, as I've mentioned before, err on the side of caution. If you've seen that person 3 times a week, don't think to yourself, it's probably just random that they randomly showed up at the lunch venue that I went to, at the dinner place where I was at the gym that I go to when they aren't a member at the gym. If it appears like there's something off, there's something off. Trust yourself to say, I'm just going to take this a step further and just ensure my safety in there. Because you always want to be in a position where, even if it was nothing, you are now safe and sound rather than the would've, should've, could've. So always err on the side of caution. And if it is a situation with the ex, again, depending on your relationship, what exactly happened? How did the breakup take place? What exactly is this a person capable of doing? That should dictate how you want to handle it, because you have a history with that individual. Sometimes people are shocked by a breakup and they just don't know how to handle it. And maybe that's why that person is following you, because they have an attachment. In which case, again, depending on you, depending on that person, the relationship, either you confront them, you talk to them about the situation, or you block them, or you threaten. I wouldn't say threaten, I would just say ask to like leave you alone. But you've got to be the best judge in that situation. And sometimes, believe it or not, when an ex doesn't go away, it could just be that they just want to have that closure with you. And depending on, again, what happened in this situation, it could just be as simple as they just need to hear you say, this is why I don't want to be with you. And they can snap into reality and accept the fact that it's over from it. So again, depending on your scenario, it may just be that that's all they really need. Or maybe when they see you with somebody else and they realize that you've moved on, they get the picture and then they move on. So if you are in a situation where it's with an ex, again, positives and negatives, and depending on kind of how you want to handle it should really just dictate your behavior. If that you broke up with somebody because they didn't treat you right and you don't want to give them closure, fair, you don't really need to. But, you know, do what makes you happy. Do what makes you feel safe. So I hope you guys found this podcast episode helpful. I hope, again, that none of you are in a situation where you need to use any of this. But like I've mentioned before, it's always good to have a plan should things go awry rather than not have a plan and find yourself in difficult situations. So with that, until next time, this is your host, Miss Anonymous. You are now checked out of the rehab. Bye, guys.